The recordings have now started.
Thank you, Benedetta. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's RRTPB PDP call on Tuesday, the 2nd of February, we have James Bledel, Mike O'Connor, Barry Cobb, Kevin Erdman, Barbara Steele, Paul Diaz, Matt Serlin. From staff, we have Glenda Sangeri, Marika Konings, David Gieser, Olaf Nordling, myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Boudouin Chambre, Michaeli Nalon, Eric Brown. And if I could just remind everyone, please to state their names when speaking. Thank you. Over to you, James.
Thank you, Gisela, and welcome, everyone. This is the IRTP call for February 2nd, 2010, and I will be your substitute today as Michaeli is attending a conference, and from the looks of his photos on Twitter, it looks like it's a terrible ordeal indeed with meetings and food and social events. So we wish him the best, and we'll look forward to him next week.
Poor McCain.
It's rough. So yesterday, Marika had sent around a brief agenda, and that's posted there for those of you who are in the Adobe Connect. It's posted there at the top of the screen. We have a few items that we can begin to go over. I believe that the public comments have been thoroughly discussed and analyzed on our previous calls, and that means the next step would be to review the constituency and stakeholder group statements. And it looks like Marika has very kindly put those in the large panes there in the Adobe Connect, and I believe they're also available on the wiki. So if there are no other topics or items of new business, perhaps we could dive right into those. And if there's time afterwards, we can maybe take a look at the draft initial report, which was also published recently, but it's unlikely that folks have had too much time to go over that one. Picking up some breathing into a microphone, so if you could, please mute your line until it's necessary, that would be helpful. So, okay, so my tone now changes because I believe my boss has just jumped on the call.
Oh, you know, all that stuff we said about Tim before, good thing.
I'm a fly on the wall.
Okay. So if we can, and Marika, I guess it's up to you, your discretion, if you would like to take us through these items individually, and then for each item we can start a queue. Or I can read them, but I think it would be more helpful if there's any request for context or additional supporting information. I think it might be helpful for you to lead us through them.
This is Marika. I'm happy to do so, but I would like to encourage those that have been involved in developing the constituency statement to to jump in or provide further context where is needed. Because this template has just been developed to facilitate discussions of the constituency statements, and so we'd like to encourage everyone, of course, to review the constituency statement as a whole to make sure that nothing is being left out. So if we then look to the first comment, and I apologize because I actually still need to update, or I still need to get used to the new acronyms, constituency stakeholder groups where appropriate. So this is from the registrar stakeholder group. In relation to issue A, whether a process for urgent return resolution of the domain name should be developed, they suggest that a possible adjustment and refinement of the TDRP to reduce the overall time frame to resolve disputes should be considered.
Okay, thank you. And so if I'm understanding this comment properly, the registrars are suggesting that there is an imperfect mechanism to accomplish this already. It's just from our discussions in Seoul, I think that we understood that the TDRP is rarely used and has its own challenges. Is my memory correct on that?
I think it is, but I remember as well. And of course, at the moment, the TDRP doesn't foresee for urgent return resolution. There's no separate procedure. It's just the same track for any kind of complaint.
Yeah, I think that's correct, Marika. I think that if there's one area where the TDRP falls short in the description of issue A, it is urgent. Are there any comments or topics that one would like to discuss on that, or should we move on to the next one? Oh, I see a hand going up here. And Mikey.
Thanks, James. I just wanted to jump in at this point because the urgent word that you mentioned sort of ties into the BC one that's down towards the bottom of that list. What we were trying to come up with was the notion that there might be a need for sort of two tracks. One, to sort of quickly return a domain to the state that it was immediately before, and then a more thoughtful, careful process to resolve it, the dispute, if it turns out there's a dispute. The thought being that there are times when folks see their domain suddenly blink out, and you know, this puts their business or their livelihood in jeopardy. So if there was some way to sort of quickly bring things back to the way they were, and then a thoughtful process to get the actual dispute resolved, that might be a way to address that. So when you mentioned urgent, I just wanted to chime in and say, yay, verily, I think there's value in that, especially if we can preserve the ability to do a thoughtful job of actually resolving a dispute if there is one.
But Mikey, a question. If there were a hypothetical mechanism that were an urgent transfer undo that returned the registration status to the way it was prior to the attempted transfer, would and if that were effective, would the TDRP still be relevant?
I have to admit a need for the refresher course on what the TDRP is. Compared to the IRTP. Can you just remind me of what TDRP does?
I'm not sure that I'm an expert.
I
think that even the registries were admitting that it's so dusty and rusty, it's rarely used. But I think that the general concept is that if there is a dispute over a transfer, and I believe, especially or particularly in cases where the two registrars cannot work together to resolve what the intended outcome would be to the benefit of the registrant, that one or both of the registrars can escalate to the registry where the TDRP is ultimately filed. And I see that Marika has her hand raised, so maybe she can illuminate us on this.
Yeah, this is Marika. I just wanted to refer you actually to the initial report, because as some of you might recall, Eric Brown actually provided a presentation, some slides on how the TDRP works and in which instances is being used, and I've included that information and linked to that presentation in the initial report. So for those that want to refresh on the TDRP, might want to have a look there.
Okay, thanks.
So,
that's good.
Mikey again, to answer your question, now that I've thanks to both of you for reminding me on that. In a way, TDRP might be just right. You know, if you had an urgent return to normal or an urgent return to prior state to get the domain sort of back to normal, but then TDRP stood behind that as the mechanism for actually resolving the dispute, maybe TDRP could become less rusty and more useful.
Good point, Mikey.
That's it for me.
And if I recall, Eric mentioned that, to his knowledge, the TDRP has never been employed with Neustar. And Barbara, I'm trusting my memory a little bit here, but I believe you said that something on the order of 7 TDRPs in the last. What was the frequency that you mentioned?
Well, I mean, over the course of the, I guess, history of the policy, it went into place. I believe it was November of 2004. We've had less than 500 cases.
Okay. So maybe it was 7 that year or 7 that quarter.
And it could very well be. And I don't have the numbers in front of me. I will say that, overall we do not see a large number of these cases. And most of the cases do tend to be worked out between the registrars themselves. And, one thing that I would like to add is that the TDRP really does not, take into consideration the quick return of a domain name or the urgent return of a domain name. By the time it gets to a TDRP, it's basically because the registrars really could not work it out amongst themselves. We at VeriSign actually implemented what we call our attorneys got involved here, the application for reinstatement of sponsorship, which basically allows for registrars to come to us if they have worked it out, and basically we can help to facilitate sending the domain name back, but we do require both the gaining and the losing registrar to basically confirm that they are in agreement that the domain name was transferred in error or fraudulently and that the domain name should go back. And that does take care of, getting it back if the registrars themselves don't have a mechanism by which to return the domain name quickly.
Okay, thank you. I see a couple of hands up, but I had a real quick question there. So is that process that you just mentioned, the application for reinstatement of sponsorship, is that a particular registry service just for .com.net, or is that that's something that VeriSign has developed on its own, correct?
It's something that we provided in our supplemental rules because all registries have the ability to basically put in place supplemental rules to the Transfer Dispute Resolution Policy or the TDRP. And so we included it as part of our supplemental rules. So it is currently in play and available for .com.net and .name domain names that were transferred fraudulently or in violation of the IRTP.
Okay. I see hands from Marika and Mikey. I'm going to put myself back in the queue just for a follow-up question. So go ahead. Marika, can you go first?
Yeah, this is Marika. I mean, I think Barbara already confirmed it, but I just wanted to clarify. Because in the current TDRP, there's no freezing or return to original state. Am I correct? They basically look at the dispute and then decide what should happen. Basically, nothing has changed to either the ownership or name servers that the disputed registration is in. No? Is that correct?
From our perspective, yes. I mean, to the extent that we receive a TDRP, we will lock the domain name down while the case is under review. And so nothing happens to that. Now, what we are able to do once the TDRP is resolved, if we find that the domain name was transferred fraudulently, then we can basically send the domain name back, but we do not update name servers or make any other changes. We basically just update the registrar of record to return it to the previous registrar.
Okay, thank you.
It would then be up to the registrar of record to make any modifications if name servers or what have you were modified.
Thank you, Barbara. Mikey, you're next.
Thanks, James. I think in this discussion, sort of one of the key choices that we get to make is whether to use one process or two. And one of the things that I was sort of entranced with was the idea of two processes so that the TDRP could continue to be a sort of thoughtful, careful process that evaluates probably sometimes pretty complex claims by two parties in a thorough way, which is likely to continue to take a while. And so the reason that I like the idea of two processes is that way there could be another process which quickly determines what to do while that stately process is unfolding. By combining the process of deciding the dispute with the transfer of the domain back to its prior state sometimes, So that's where we run into the need for this urgent return, is the company or the business or the person whose site is suddenly blinked out, and now it takes weeks or months or whatever it is to actually resolve it, and meanwhile, they're sort of out of commission. So one way to sort of address both of those issues is to separate the processes, and that's what I was trying to lobby for in our comments in the PC. I'm all for, in terms of the issue A question, whether there's a process for urgent return, I'm all for that. And then my separating of the two processes is sort of an implementation kind of issue in a way.
Okay. Thank you, Mikey. I had a question for Barbara, which was going back to VeriSign's supplemental rule. Would you say that that is that method has become more popular or has become the mechanism of choice for folks to use instead of or in place of the TDRP, or are either of them very frequently employed?
Well, neither of them are really frequently employed, given the number of transfers that we have going, back and forth. I think probably, as I said, the registrars actually are able to work it out amongst themselves, and we never see it. But I will say it's probably split. Some registrars do prefer to, really work with the other registrar, and they just prefer to go the what we call the ARS. It's a little bit easier to say. They prefer to go that route versus, a full request for enforcement. But I would say it's pretty much split.
Okay. Thank you. So the queue is empty. If I could attempt to summarize our discussion on this topic, is that there is not currently a formal mechanism for urgent return. There is a TDRP, which is there's a couple of workarounds, I think, that are in practice. One is that registrars often will communicate directly with one another and resolve the situation between themselves in the absence of any kind of a formal policy or mechanism to do that. Two, VeriSign has, and I'm presuming that there may be equivalents that's in the supplemental rules of other registries as well, but with Eric not on the call, I think we're just going to have to leave that as an assumption. But VeriSign has implemented supplemental rules to help disposition these types of situations when they occur and when registrars can't come to some sort of agreement. And then we have this more formal, as Mikey describes, more thoughtful and more lengthy process of the TDRP. And it seems like all of these can be used to address the same situation. It's just a question of which is more effective, which is more timely, and I'm not really aware of the costs involved with the TDRP, but sounds like that would be a little more lengthy and expensive than some of these other mechanisms. So is that a synopsis of everyone's thoughts here, or am I guilty of a major omission?
James, this is Tim. Could I get in the queue?
Oh, absolutely, Tim. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Just a question, because Mikey was talking about the his concept as something kind of separate from the TDRP, but what about the possibility that, the TDRP, and then maybe Barbara could comment on it too, but the TDRP is somehow modified to have as the first step when a TDRP is filed that the name reverts to the previous DNS, which then will cause it to resolve as it previously did until there's a resolution to the dispute.
Okay,
basically making it one process, that it solves the immediate urgent return, or at least part of it, by at least solving the resolution issue. But it's all one process. It's just the initial part of the TDRP.
So just from my understanding, your idea is a modification of the TDRP so that the previous status and name servers are restored while the TDRP is in process.
Right. I'm just throwing that out there as, you know, if that had been considered and, you know, if not, perhaps, you know, some thought could be given to that and to what the issues might be with it. Or if it has been considered, perhaps someone could explain why, you know, what the issues are. But it seems like that would eliminate a need for two processes.
Okay. Barbara?
You know, I don't know if that's been considered. I think that, you know, from a registry perspective, we, you know, basically try not to, you know, update name servers and that type of information for a particular domain name. So, you know, I'm not sure how well it would be received. I would probably anticipate that it would make more sense for the registrars of record to be able to make those updates. And if you don't have cooperative registrars, then I think that would be difficult to implement. A lot of the TRPs that we do receive, a registrar will file it, and in many cases, the respondent or the other party to the request for enforcement or RFE may very well not even provide any information relating to why the denial, in the case that the transfer request was denied, or why the transfer was legitimate. So, and I think that it would definitely involve more involvement from the registry side of the business. That's something that obviously I can run by the registry's stakeholders group to see if there might be a possibility of and willingness to step in to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Respond to Barbara. I think that might be a good idea just to get, you know, what the registry's perspective on something like that, because whether it's one process or two, it seems that the issue will be, or the issue is actually, you know, the cooperation between registrars, and that doesn't always work out well, or isn't always possible, and it's not necessarily perhaps due to any, you know, misconduct on anyone's part. It's just the way things are when you're talking about a group of competitors. But in explaining that, I think it's important to note that you know, there is, of course, you know, a huge desire for a more urgent resolution to those kinds of issues, and that is just kind of looking at, you know, the least harm, you know, leaving, you know, if there is a dispute or a question, leaving something as it is for a long period of time, you know, what harm that might do versus the harm that might be done by just reverting to the previous DNS and resolution. You know, trying to look for the course of least harm, yet getting the problem solved.
Okay, Mikey.
This is Mikey. I mostly just want to say, like Tim said, I think he's absolutely nailed this one. And in fact, he said it so well, I'm not going to say anything else.
Okay. Chris. Hello, Chris. Are you on mute? Chris?
Hello there.
Hi, Chris.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, certainly.
Oh, good. I'm online. I thought I was. Sorry. When we've mentioned name servers before as a trigger, you know, change of name servers as a trigger for the urgency requirement, Michele's always come down with a lot of technical points, some of which are way above me, with problems with name servers. I just wanted to highlight that clearly, there's, you know, it's not quite just as simple as, you know, we see name servers changing from, you know, A to B, that all sorts of funnies can go on and how things can be hidden. So that's actually quite a complicated area that we might need advice on. That was my first point. The second one I wanted to mention is clearly we see a need for some sort of policy for urgency, and I suppose to summarise it, the question is, does it, should we recommend that it goes within the TDRP or as an additional process? And I see the registrar constituency went one way and BC went the other way on this one. So I suppose moving forward in our report, we could be thinking of having pros and cons of both methods and then perhaps coming to a recommendation which one of those that we want. My third point I wanted to raise was just really to ask Barbara whether the supplementary rules that they've developed, would they be instructive to ourselves? Because perhaps you've seen practical problems here and tried to and gone ahead and forged something ahead for us.
Well, I can speak to that if nobody has any objections. Our supplemental rules are actually posted out publicly, and I believe you can get to them via the ICANN website. So to the extent that you would like to go out and take a look at them, by all means do. One of the things that I think it makes sense to point out here is that the IRTP really is inter-registrar transfers. So many of the cases that we're actually seeing filed under the TDRP may not necessarily involve a change of name server, or in some cases it may not even involve a change of registrant. A lot of what we see is that the admin contact, which basically has ultimate authority in authorizing a transfer, was not aware that a transfer was taking place, and the registrant wasn't aware that the transfer was taking place, and the admin contact is who actually authorized it. So since the registrant has the primary authority for authorizing transfers, that's where we see many of the disputes coming through. I think what we're talking about here is, you know, specifically relating to hijacking, and I'm not sure that, you know, necessarily the IRTP is the place to perhaps put in place, you know, policies surrounding hijacking cases. I think it almost would make better sense to have a separate and distinct policy relating to the handling of hijacked names, where there's a change of name server, registrants, and as well as, you know, perhaps a registrar of record.
Okay, so a hijacking could conceivably occur outside of the IRTP by just changing the registrant, but leaving it at the same registrar. Is that a possibility?
That is very much a possibility.
Okay. Mikey, and then Tim.
Thanks, James. This is Mikey. 2 points. First point was, in terms of separate process or change to TDRP that accomplishes the same thing, I don't think that the BC has a real strong opinion about that. I agree with the pros and cons analysis, and I think that there is some analysis that needs to be done, but I wouldn't want to paint the difference between the BC view and the registrar view as a chasm. Maybe just different levels of understanding of the problem. And then in terms of Barbara's point about whether to do this within IRTP or not, I'd like to chew on that one a bit more before coming down on either side. I would hate to accidentally miss the opportunity to get the urgent, you know, the ultimate point here is urgent return to prior state, and it might even require changes to IRTP and other processes as well. So I'd hate to accidentally lose the opportunity to accomplish that by not pursuing it within the IRTP discussion. So those are my two thoughts.
Thank you, Mikey. And Tim?
I guess sort of similar. I think that, you know, it's true, you know, that resolving a true hijacking versus resolving a dispute between the registrar and an admin contact, where perhaps the actual registrar on a record doesn't change, but just there's a dispute as to whether it was authorized or not. You know, the resolution of those is very different. However, there is something that's very common, and that is that, if the resolution has changed, the harm is the same. And that's at the real heart of either issue. And I think the initial problem or the initial issues are the same. So regardless of which situation we're talking about, the immediate need is for correcting resolution of the domain name as quickly as possible, because that's where the harm is being done. What registrar is currently sitting at, or who's the registrar of record, those are all things that need to be resolved. But, the financial harm to a business or the reputational harm to other situations is the same and immediate, and that's where the urgency and resolution of the problem really needs to take place. So I don't think they necessarily need to be addressed as separate issues as far as the urgency issue is concerned. I think that there's, a way we should be able to come together and agree to resolve that. And I don't think it's just a registrar's issue or just a registry issue. I think it's something we need to work together on. And hopefully, we can come together on something like this. I think it'd be a good precedent for our industry in general, which doesn't necessarily have the greatest reputation. At some point, all these problems, we need to start finding solutions to some of these things. If we don't find solutions to them together, those solutions are going to come from outside, and we're not necessarily going to like the result. So I really hope that I think this is something that can be solved. I think the solution is there. We just got to figure out how to get to it. And, that's not going to be by leaving it in one camp or the other. It's something we're going to have to work together on.
Thanks, Tim. I wholeheartedly agree. I think that, there's an opportunity right here in front of us to cooperate, to work through this, and I think it will go a long way towards increasing the trust registrants have in this whole process and in the industry.
Right on. This is Mikey.
Mariko's hand is up, and then at some point we should probably move on to item number two, since we're now 35 minutes into our call.
This is Mariko. I just want to already look ahead at the next agenda point and just encourage everyone to review this section in the report that covers the working group discussions on this issue, which I think repeats a lot of the issues that we've discussed now. And want people to make sure that it reflects accurately what the group thinks and hopefully get to indeed some kind of recommendations for solutions. And also wanted to point out, because I think what came up in previous discussions is as well that any kind of procedure that would be developed would be an escalation, taking into account that most of these issues actually get resolved between registrars, and that such a procedure, is only in cases where that actually doesn't happen and where you need some kind of backup or mechanism to force some kind of resolution. And I think that's something that came out in previous discussion, and that's hopefully captured as well in the report, and just to make sure that's as well in agreement with what was discussed now.
Okay, thank you, Marika. So looking down the list here of the items that were extracted from the constituency stakeholder group statement, it seems like our discussion today has really touched on several of them. I'm not sure about the second one, however, which says that the working group could discuss best practices for the voluntary transfer of names in cases of fraud. Coming from the registrar stakeholder group, it seems like this is touching on the process that we mentioned earlier, where registrars will work together to resolve these types of scenarios and what sort of best practices they could employ. Am I understanding that correctly? I might pick on some of the other registrars here on the call, like Paul. Is that? Am I trusting my memory on that?
Yeah, I think that's right, James. I'm not fully trusting my memory either, but that sounds right.
Yeah. So I guess one of the questions that I would have in this area is that the lack of frequency of employment of the TDRP, as reported by the registries, would seem to indicate that what the registrars are doing amongst themselves seems to be effective for most situations most of the time. And there's certainly some boundary cases where those are escalated to TDRPs or other cases that indicate some additional mechanisms are needed. But one question would be, do registrars share those practices amongst themselves? Are they codified anywhere? Are they exchanged as best practices? How do registrars know what to expect from one another when these situations arise? And I see Marika's hand is up in the queue.
Yeah, this is Marika again, because I did have a question in relation to the comment you made saying that, you know, as a TDRP is not being used, it might mean that, you know, it's working well between registrars. But I would like to turn the question around. Is that, are registrars hesitant to use the TDRP because it's costly and it takes a lot of time and sometimes just don't bother and, you know, just either give the domain name back or think that they can't win a case, it's too lengthy to go down the TDRP route? That's actually a question. Is what is the real reason why the TDRP is not being used? Is everything working really well between registrars, or do registrars consider the TDRP too tedious, costly, not functioning to actually go down that route?
Paul?
Yeah, thanks, James. I was looking up notes from customer service colleagues on this particular issue, and at least from Network Solutions' perspective, the TDRP is seen as sort of a resource of last resort. I don't know if it's necessarily tedious, but a lot of the adjectives that Marika just used are in the email that I've received from my colleagues. The TDRP is not seen as an effective way to get things done. We prefer to rely on the relationships we forge with most other registrars to try and deal with things behind the scenes. And we see the TDRP as a time-consuming process. And one that too often, in our view, registry operators will either punt on the decision or are very, very hesitant to make a formal decision. That extra time just creates greater frustration. So invariably, we continue to do the behind-the-scenes things, even through a TDRP process, in the hopes that we will get the solution that our registrant customer is looking for. You know, what exactly the answers are, I'm not sure. I guess that's, you know, would be for the group to investigate further. But at least from our perspective, it's seen as a process that we don't often turn to because we don't see it as a very effective tool. We prefer, out of necessity, if nothing else, to deal direct with other registrar colleagues. And if the gaining registrar is not responsive in some way, we might even turn to ICANN. You know, compliance department or registrar liaison to try and work it out. Basically, you do everything short of the TDRP. Again, that's just our last resort in typical experiences here.
Thank you, Paul. And Kevin, I see you're in the queue, but before I go to you, I just wanted to echo that I got a lot of similar feedback from our folks internally that the TDRP was too slow and too expensive. And going back to Tim's point about the harm, we certainly wanted to restore the resolution of that name as quickly as possible, and every hour or every day that it was left in a challenged or even in some cases a fraudulent state, the harm continued. So I think that registrars, I think, view the TDRP, as Paul said, as a mechanism of last resort. So we'll go to Kevin and then Mikey.
Yeah, this is Kevin Erdman. I just wanted to chime in from the perspective of representing clients who have transfer disputes. I've never used the TDRP or, you know, tried to compel a registry to do that. What we've always done is we've gone to ICANN, work with their general counsel, who has the ability to apparently get the various registries in compliance, and that's how we've always resolved transfer disputes where there was either an error on the transfer or some sort of fraud involved. And no, we've never had to go to the TDRP, and we've done resolved several problems like that.
So, Kevin, if I could ask a question, you said that you go to ICANN to when you encounter those issues. Do you not go to the gaining registrar or at that time, or have you just found that that's going to ICANN is your most expeditious route? Or
yeah, I mean, we the typical scenario is that a domain name of a client goes to some registrar that is outside of the United States and doesn't necessarily have English as their first language. And we found attempts to contact those registrars to be fairly unavailing, where the general counsel's office at ICANN is pretty responsive. So that's sort of how we have gone that route as the item of first resolve.
Okay, thank you. So that's a new scenario that I don't think was captured in these first few items. Mikey?
Thanks, James. This is Mikey. As this conversation's unfolding, sort of my process engineer instincts jump forward, and it does sound like the TDRP is in need of some help, the first stage of which would be to figure out what's going on now. And some of the experiences that have just been related on this call would probably be good input for that analysis. So maybe one of our recommendations has something to do with that. Maybe one of our recommendations is to dive deeper into TDRP and figure it out. And I guess that gets to a charter question for us. Is the expectation that we're going to figure out the new process, or simply recommend that a new process be developed by somebody? Do you have a sense for that?
Oh, that's a good question, Mikey. I can let Marika take a stab at that, but go ahead, Marika.
This is Marika. I actually don't have a specific answer to that question, but I do want to point out that there are a number of other TDRP-related issues in one of the upcoming PDPs. PDPD has a number of other questions that also relate to the TDRP. But to Mikey's point, I guess there are several options. I mean, this group could, you know, take it on them to provide some further guidance as to how such a process could look. It could recommend to create a separate drafting team to look at how that should work. Or I guess you could just say as well, we want a new process. These are the different criteria, and request ICANN staff to come up with an implementation plan. I presume those are the different options that could be explored.
So one possibility might be to commission a drafting team to take over all the TDRP-related topics, but would that remove them then from future IRTP groups as a topic, or how would that look?
The other ones are confined in a PDP. I mean, it still would need to be, I think, readopted or initiated by the council again. So. You know, one option would be as well to defer further work on that until the group looks at those other questions, or you might want to have a look at those other questions and say, well, those are actually really different from what we're trying to achieve here. So, you know, we would recommend that, you know, a separate initiative just goes ahead with specifically looking at that, and maybe at the time when we get to the PDPD, you know, they might have done their work on that specific process, and we might be able to give them the other elements that we've discussed in that context. So, just to give you an idea, some of the other questions that are being asked are whether there should be reporting requirements for registries and district providers in order to make precedent and trend information available, whether there should be additional provisions included in the TDRP on how to handle disputes when multiple transfers have occurred. I'm not really sure what that means, the multiple transfers here, but whether dispute options for registrants should be developed and implemented as part of the policy, and whether requirements or best practices should be put in place for registrars to make information on transfer dispute resolution options available to registrants. So those are the questions that are listed under the PDPD, as it's titled.
Okay, thank you. Kevin, was your hand up again, or is that from before?
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. I haven't taken it down.
Okay. Okay, we'll jump to Mikey quickly, and then would like to start to close off discussion on this topic. So, Mikey.
Thanks, James. This is Mikey. I mostly want to highlight or piggyback on what Tim was saying earlier, that, you know, this looks like an interesting problem to solve, and I think the sooner we could put a collaborative group of people together to solve it, the better. And so I'm less enchanted with the idea of waiting until IRTPD is done, since by that time I may be dead, or at least dead. And so maybe we could, you know, I think you're right, James. We should probably move on, but maybe we should table this for now, but think about a recommendation to formulate some urgent response to the urgent response problem, and see if we can put something together that could get out of the blocks a little more quickly.
I think that's a noble idea, Mikey. I mean, we have the problem in front of us. We have a little used and mostly ineffective process, and we have the, at least by the broadest reading of the charter, we have an opportunity to resolve it. So I think that if one thing came out of IRTPB, it would be that you know, we could either through modification of the existing TDRP or through creation of some sort of an adjunct process, we could empower registrars to resolve this issue. So, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Because of course, there's nothing preventing the working group either. When you start, you know, digging into the TDRP for this specific question, if you see there's, you know, ways to incorporate some of the other questions, to go back to the council and say, look, we've actually seen an opportunity here to take one of the other questions off the list because we can cover it here. We're already working on it, and we see that, you know, it wouldn't require much more effort to actually address that question in the same working effort. You know, I would be surprised if there would be a lot of resistance from the council to do so. So that might be something else to take into account.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to presume how the council would receive that, but I'd like to think that they would be receptive to the idea of lightening the load of future IRTP working groups and resolving something a little more urgently, especially when there's you know, especially when there's clear indications that there's confusion and harm occurring out in the community. We have just a few minutes left. Mikey, is your hand up new, or is that from before?
No, it's old, sorry.
Okay, so we have just a few minutes left, and while it probably only seems like we got stuck on the first item on this list, in fact, if you scroll down through the numerous comments that were submitted for issue A, I think, in fact, we touched on a lot of the questions or comments that were raised by the various stakeholder groups in that section. I think that we've got a couple of possibilities here for recommendations, and whether we move on them now or whether we just capture them for Michele's return. I think either way is fine. I certainly wouldn't want to charge off in any particular direction without him being involved in that decision. So I think if we can establish that we've discussed a lot of the issues here, that that these issues are not just sequestered to this particular group or this particular issue A or this particular IRTP phase B, but that they actually stretch out throughout the entire series of IRTP working groups. I think that Mikey and Tim's approach probably deserves consideration either on the list or on the next call.
Hey, James, this is Tim.
Yes, Tim, go ahead.
Can I just make a comment?
The queue is empty. It's all yours.
Yeah, you know, I just was just thinking about kind of the previous conversation, and I think I just want to make sure in case there's any, and maybe we could clarify with the council as a whole, but I think just to be clear that the charter might be a little ambiguous. I don't think it was intended to indicate that, you know, the questions being asked would just have yes or no answers, that it was, I believe, it was fully expected by council that they might also result in actual policy recommendations, so that option is there to the working group. So I didn't know if there was some confusion about that, and I kind of dropped off the call, unfortunately, for a few minutes and got back on, but I just want to make sure that that was clear, and if there's any need to get clarity from that from the council, I'd be happy to take that back.
Okay, thanks, Jim. I think that we were all kind of leaning that way, but nobody really wanted to take that last leap to that conclusion. And but if you could get a clarification of that, that would be great.
Yeah, certainly.
And then I think as a follow-on to that is not just how they would feel about actually putting forth policy recommendations, but what about when we've identified that something that we're addressing in IRTPB is also encompassed in the charter for IRTPD. Can we, you know, can we steal from future PDPs? Is that okay if we feel that it's relevant and germane to what we're working on?
Okay, yeah, I'll take that as well.
So winding down here just a little bit, there is a initial draft of the, I'm sorry, first draft of the initial report that's been posted to the wiki, and I think that Michele would be very happy and pleased with us if by his return next Tuesday that we could have at least gone through that and submitted some comments to the list. I don't know, it's pretty ambitious, but maybe we can surprise him. So that would be one takeaway from this week's call. And if possible, if you could submit using the track changes function of Word or whatever your word processor is, and then submitting and posting that attachment back up to the list, I think that we can go over some of those things once we get through the constituency and stakeholder group statements. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I mean, if maybe people can just have a quick look at the table of contents of on page 2 of the draft initial report. I can, you know, just very briefly, you know, follow the layout of some of the other reports, other initial reports that have circulated recently. So I think, you know, probably the main focus for the group would be on chapter 5 and 7, which is empty for now. I mean, the rest covers more. You know, more procedural stuff, some, you know, copy and paste from the issues report and things like that. But the main, you know, the bulk of the or the meat is really in chapter 5. So as you'll see there, I've tried to do my best to capture the notes that I've taken from the different meetings. But I would really like to encourage everyone to review those closely to make sure that I haven't missed anything or mischaracterized anything. For each of the issues, I've tried also to you know, put down some ideas that were raised in the discussions as possible, you know, ideas for recommendations that will need to be further fleshed out and discussed. So again, another area for people to look at and think about what could be potential recommendations coming out of this report. And then also some areas, I think, for example, charter question E, we haven't really spent a lot of time yet digging into that one, especially, for example, looking back at the work that has been done in the denials, IRTP denials working group. So I've identified that as one of the areas that we might need to spend a bit more time discussing on the call, and maybe, you know, someone like Mikey or all of that have been involved in that group could actually, you know, provide a little overview of what actually was discussed in that group and why it was passed on to another group and which some of the elements are that need to be considered in the context of that discussion. So that just gives you very briefly an idea of what's in there, and, yeah, again, we'd like to encourage everyone just to review it and either use track changes or send, you know, edits or suggestions on the mailing list, and I can then incorporate them in any, you know, updated draft.
Okay, thank you, Marika. So so if pressed for time, the real focus should be on section 3, 5, and 7.
Correct. For section 7, I mean, the question is there, do we want to put anything in there? I mean, in previous for example, the previous IRTP working group, we left that one blank and basically said we first want to see what we get from the comment period before we draw any conclusions, and you know, we don't put anything in there. So the question is, do we take a similar approach in this working group and just leave that empty for now and just complete that, you know, following the public comment period on the initial report?
Okay, thank you. Well, I think if there are no other items that we need to cover today, we'll begin to wind down this particular meeting and report back to Michele that we were able to be mostly productive and make good use of our time slot in his absence. Does anyone have anything else before we adjourn?
Yes, Chris here. Yeah, I just wanted to thank Marika for that report. I haven't gone through it in great detail, but it looks like we've moved a huge step forward with that, and I think it's taken a lot of work off our own personal shoulders. Thank you.
Yes, I think that's an excellent point, Chris, especially given the visibility that we have into all the things that Marika is trying to get wrapped up for Nairobi. I think it's an amazing effort. So thank you, Marika.
You're welcome.
Marika actually doesn't sleep. It's a genetic thing that many of you probably don't know.
I'm beginning to suspect that she's an android. the amount of work that she's able to do in the amount of time is it starts to make me question whether she is truly human or some kind of a machine. So. No, thank you, Marika. I think it's good work, and hopefully we will have some constructive additions for that next week when Michele returns. So, thanks, everyone, for putting up with me for a week there. I'm glad to see that the hour was not wasted and that we did make some progress on these constituency statements, and now we have a report to chew on for the next week. And if there's no other items, we'll adjourn for now and see you next week with Michele's triumphant return from Zurich.
Thanks.
Thanks, James. Great.
Thanks, James.
Cheerio.
Bye now.